Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
So, many of y'all know at this point that Back to the Future is my favorite movie. So if we could, I'd like to travel back in time with you this morning. Not far back, just a few years back to 2021. I had been here for just a few months as your pastor, or just a few weeks as your pastor. And I had preached my first three Sundays with you, and then I got COVID. And so I had to quarantine for 10 days, which meant that I had to miss my fourth Sunday here. And let me just tell you, that was difficult for me. And it was difficult for a couple of reasons. First, it was difficult because I am a worker. I like to get stuff done, and so certainly as a new pastor at this church, I had a list of to-dos that I wanted to get accomplished in the beginning of my time here, and so here I was, instead of getting all those things done, I was having to sit on my hands at home and do nothing, and so that was difficult for me. But it was also difficult for me because being a new pastor as well, I wanted to be out in the community getting to know people and be out amongst the members of the church getting to know the members here, and I wasn't able to do that either. And so here I was for these 10 days. Now, my family was there with me, but I was quarantining at home, and it began to feel very isolating. And after several days of this quarantine, I began to experience, after being trapped in the house, I began to experience, especially in the evening times, just these very real fears. Fears and anxieties would just begin to wash over me in the evening, and my mind began to race with questions. Questions like, how far back is this quarantine going to set me in being a pastor? Am I going to fail as a pastor because of these 10 days at home? Or maybe even, here was one of the worst questions, is the church going to decide after these 10 days, you know what, we don't really like this guy after all, maybe we should just get rid of him, right? Now I realize that many of these fears were illogical, but that's the reality of what I was going through, what I was experiencing at that time. These anxieties, these fears were simply overwhelming to me. But as I think about being overwhelmed by fears and anxieties, I realize that I'm not the only one that experiences that. I'm not the only one that has fears. I'm not the only one that has anxieties. Rather, this is something that many of us, and maybe even all of us, struggle with every single day. So this morning, we're launching into this new series titled, The Struggle is Real, recognizing that whether you've ever said the struggle is real or not, the reality is that we all go through some type of struggles, whether we're talking about fears and anxieties or some other type of struggle, the reality is that we all struggle with something. In fact, as we think about our vision of next for this year, where we're asking this question, where am I in my walk with the Lord and what is my next step? The reality is that when you look at your life right now, you may say, I am in the midst of a struggle. That is where I am. And so as we think about being in the midst of struggles, the question is where do we go when we have these struggles? What do we do? What do we turn to? And so my desire throughout this series is to turn to God's Word and to to provide for you some biblical answers for these real life struggles. And the first real life struggle that we're going to be talking about today is this struggle of fear and anxiety. And so before we turn to our passage, let me just kind of give this side note. I understand as we think about fears and especially anxiety, sometimes there are some medical things going on. Sometimes there's some chemical things inside of us. We need to see a doctor. We need to maybe have some medication for that. And that's okay. All right. But I believe that there's also some very real biblical answers that we can turn to that can help us in these times of fear and anxiety. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Psalm chapter 56. We're going to look at verses 1 through 13. That's the entirety of the chapter, Psalm 56, verses 1 through 13. Now, as you're turning there, let me set this up for you. At the top of your psalm, in your copy of God's Word, you may see that there's this little paragraph kind of giving you the context of this psalm. And you'll see that this psalm is described as a mictum of David. Well, what in the world is a mictum? Well, truth be told, mictum is a transliterated word, meaning that there was no English word to translate this Hebrew word into, and so what the translators did is they created an English word, this word mictum, right? And scholars really are not 100% sure what this word mictum means. However, they do have their own thoughts based on other words in the Hebrew language that this word is similar to. They have some thoughts on what this word could possibly mean. Some scholars believe that it could mean golden, meaning that this psalm is something that was seen as precious, something valuable. Or it could be that it's being described as something as precious as stamped gold. So we could think about, in our world's context, we could think about a song that would be a top-selling song, and it receives the award of a gold album. And so this is this could be a song or a psalm that people knew and that they loved and that they would often turn to. But some scholars, they deviate from this idea of gold, and they believe that it could mean cover. And so they see this psalm as something that people would turn to in times of struggle, in times where they needed to take cover. Now, this could be a very good possibility, because also in this little paragraph describing this psalm, we see that David wrote this when the Philistines seized him in Gath. And so this is a time of struggle for David, a time that he would need to take cover. And so as we think about these different ideas that scholars have about this word, this is my encouragement. Maybe, just maybe, we should see this word as meaning both of those things, that this psalm is something that is valuable. It is precious for us to turn to in times of struggle, in times that we would need to take cover. And so as we think about this struggle of fear and anxieties that many of us face, as we look at God's Word this morning, may we cover ourselves, not in our fears and anxieties, but may we cover ourselves in God's Word. So with that in mind, let's look at this psalm right now. Let's read it, Psalm 56, 1 through 13. It says, "Be gracious to me, God, for a man is trampling me. He fights and oppresses me all day long. My adversaries trample me all day, for many arrogantly fight against me. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? They twist my words all day long. All their thoughts against me are evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps while they wait to take my life. Will they escape in spite of such sin? God, bring down the nations in wrath. You yourself have recorded my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will retreat on the day when I call. This I know, God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mere humans do to me? I am obligated by vows to you, God. I will make my thanksgiving sacrifices to you, for you rescued me from death, even my feet from stumbling, to walk before God in the light of life. Now, as we look at this psalm, there are some things that I want you to see that we are to practice in times that we are struggling, specifically when we're struggling with fear. First, we are to rest in God's protection. We're to rest in God's protection. So in the second half of verse 4, David asks a rhetorical question. He asks, "What can mere mortals do to me?" Now, other translations word it to say, "What can flesh do to me?" And that's a good translation as well. But I like the way the CSB translates it here, saying, "What can mere mortals do to me?" Because what David was recognizing is that he and his enemies were on the same playing field, right? They were on level ground because while, yes, David was mortal, his enemies were also mortal. Those coming against him were mortal. But really, David is recognizing something deeper than this. As we think about the first half of that psalm, "In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust," he's recognizing while his enemies may be mortal, his God is immortal. His enemies, they were mortal, but his God was immortal. Meaning, yes, his enemies could come against him. His enemies could bring their attacks, but at the end of the day, it really didn't matter who was coming against him, what they were trying to do to him, because he knew that he had God on his side. And while his enemies were mortal, his God was immortal. And so this thought gave David great rest. Even though he says, when I'm afraid, recognizing that there are times that he experiences fear, he says, "I will trust in you." And he experiences rest, recognizing that he has the immortal God on his side. So if you're a child of the 80s or 90s, you'll appreciate this illustration. So the first gaming system that I ever received was a Nintendo, the original NES. And so because of that, the first game that I ever received was Super Mario Brothers because it literally came in the box. And so if you've ever played Super Mario Brothers, you know when you're moving forward, you have to watch out for the things coming against you, right? Whether it's those things that look like owls, those creatures that look like turtle birds, or maybe even the motorcycle helmets with little feet. Right, you have these things that are coming towards you, and you have to watch out for them because you don't want to run into them because you'll either shrink or even worse, die. Unless you had the star. When you had the star, you were invincible. And so you didn't have to worry about what was coming against you. You could run full speed ahead, run through everything. You didn't have to worry about it. You could move forward without fear. Now, here's the reality. We recognize that we are not immortal. We don't have the star power up on our side, right? But we do have the immortal God on our side. If we belong to God, if we are His, we have the immortal God on our side. And so what that means is that we don't have to worry about what comes against us. We can continue to move forward as we trust God, and we can move forward with peace regardless of what comes against us, but because we recognize that we have the Lord's protection on our side. Doesn't mean that we don't go through struggles. It doesn't mean that we don't have hard times. But what it means is that regardless of what we go through, we have the immortal God on our side taking care of us through it all, protecting us through it all. And so that should give us great rest. So we're to rest in God's protection. Second, we are to remember that God knows. When we are fearful, we are to remember that God knows. You know, many times when we're fearful, when we have these fears and anxieties washing over us, many times we feel alone. We feel like no one else feels the way we feel, like no one else experiences the same fears or anxieties that we experience. And so we feel alone. And if that's you today, if you are experiencing that, you feel like no one else knows what you're going through, that no one else could possibly understand, I want you to hear me. That could not be further from the truth. The reality is that many people experience the same fears and anxieties that you experience. Many people go through the same things that you go through every single day. One thing that I love about our growth group and even our men's Bible study on Wednesday nights is that as we look at God's Word together and as we discuss God's Word, as we apply it to our lives, and so we discuss our lives with one another, what we realize is that we're not the only ones that go through certain things. That other people in the room go through the exact same things that we're going through. Believe it or not, we are not alone. Believe it or not, those struggles in your marriage are probably not unique to your marriage. The difficulty that you are going through in your job is probably not unique to your job. The temptation that you continually face, you're probably not the only one that experiences that temptation. And so as we share life stories with one another, what we realize is that we are not alone. And if you're in one of the groups that I teach, then what you'll learn very quickly is that while I am a pastor, I'm also very much a person. And I have my own struggles just like you do. But beyond simply other people understanding us, beyond simply other people understanding what we are going through, David gives us this reminder that even if it's true that no one else knows, God knows. God knows what we're going through. David says in verse 8, "You yourself have recorded my wanderings." Other translations say it this way, "You yourself have recorded my misery." Isn't that true sometimes? Sometimes it feels like we are just wandering through misery, right? God knows. And so this is what David is saying. God knows exactly what you're going through, and He cares. What a great reminder that is to know that we have a God that knows exactly what we're going through and He cares about what we're going through. And so when you have those feelings of fear, when you have those feelings of anxiety and they're just washing over you and you feel like you're alone, let me encourage you, don't allow that to escalate. Recognize that you're not alone and that you have a God who knows and who cares. So we're to rest in God's protection, and we are to remember that God knows. Third, when we are experiencing fears and anxieties, we are to practice trust. And as we think about practicing trust, there are two things that David highlights for us in this passage that we are to place our trust in. First, we're to practice trust in God Himself. In verses 4 and 11, David says, "In God I trust." David trusted God because David knew that God was bigger than whatever it was that he was facing. Were those things big? Yes. But David knew that God was bigger than those things. So I've shared this story before, but when I was a kid, there was a day that my sister and I, we were walking on the side of our house, and we heard something behind us, and so we turned back and looked behind us, and what we saw, in reality, was probably no different than our dog Brinkley, a yellow lab. But what we saw was the dog from the sandlot over on the other side of the fence. We saw the beast behind us. And so we started running from that dog. And what do you think that dog started doing? It started chasing us and barking at us. And so we're running, we're screaming. Now, we had some shelves that were attached to the side of our house. I don't know why we had those shelves there, but they were there. And as we were running past those shelves, my sister saw that as an escape route for herself. And so she climbed those shelves, and I looked to the side, and now I am alone running from this dog on my own. And so I get to the back of the house, and I ran to the corner of the back of the house where there was this tree, and I ran to hide behind this tree, which did nothing for me, because this dog ran right up to me and was standing there just barking at me. And so I did the only thing I knew to do. I cried out to my parents, "Mama, Daddy!" And they came running. Now, this is why I cried out to my parents, because I knew even though I was not bigger than this dog, even though I knew I couldn't do anything about this dog, I knew my parents were bigger than this dog, and my parents could chase this dog off, which is exactly what happened. So this is what I want you to know. Whatever you might be going through today, the struggle may be real, but so is God, and God is bigger. Whatever that struggle might be, the struggle may be real, but so is God, and God is bigger. And because God is bigger, you can call on Him, and you can trust Him. So we need to practice trust in God Himself. When we experience fear, we are to practice trust in God. But second, we need to practice trust in God's Word. So also in verse 4, we see David say not only that he puts his trust in God, but that he praises God's Word. In God whose Word I praise. He praises God's Word because he recognizes that God's Word, first, because it belongs to God, but also because God's Word is trustworthy. I don't know about you, but when I am fearful, when I have fears and anxieties washing over me, many times I will begin to replay conversations in my head that I've had with people. Right, I just have those on repeat. I go through them over and over again. Or maybe I begin rehearsing for conversations that I know I need to have. And I rehearse those over and over again. And typically, the reality is that the conversations that I'm replaying did not go as bad as I have it in my mind. And the conversations that I still need to have when I finally have them, they don't go as bad as what I was expecting them to go. And so the reality is that these fears, they're just not rooted in truth. These sayings, that these thoughts that are going through my mind, they're not rooted in truth. Sometimes it's rooted in speculation. Sometimes it's just rooted in my own thoughts, but they're not rooted in truth. But this is what we know about God's Word. God's Word is true. God's Word is true. God has spoken to us, and His Word is true. And so instead of, in these times of fear, allowing our thoughts to speak to us, allowing our own feelings to speak to us, we need to turn to God's Word, because while our thoughts or our feelings may not be true, God's Word is true. So we're to rest in God's protection. We are to remember that God knows. We are to practice trust. Finally, this morning, in those times that we are being overwhelmed with fears or anxieties, we are to practice thanksgiving. So in verse 12, David says, I will make my thanksgiving sacrifices to you. Now, it could be that David was going to actually make some physical sacrifices at the altar, or it could be that David was going to simply sing some songs and that those songs would be a sacrifice to the Lord. We really don't know, but what we do know is that David was choosing to thank God. In the midst of his fears, in the midst of his enemies coming against him, David was choosing to give thanksgiving to the Lord. In other words, what David was doing is he was shifting his focus. Instead of focusing on the things that were scaring him, instead of focusing on the ones who were coming against him, David was focusing on the one who was on his side. David was focusing on the one who made him thankful. So let me pause right here and give you this encouragement. If you would say that you are currently experiencing fears, if you're currently in that state of anxiousness, anxiety, let me encourage you to shift your focus. Instead of focusing on all of the things that are scaring you, that are causing you to fear, causing you to be anxious, shift your focus onto the one who is with you. Shift your focus onto the one who is taking care of you. Shift your focus onto the one who sent Jesus into this world to die on the cross, who overcame the grave, and who saved you from your sins. Don't focus on all of these other things, but shift your focus that you might be focused on the Lord. So there's an older song that we still sing from time to time, usually in the early service, but we still sing this song from time to time. It's called Count Your Blessings. And while this song may be older, the truth of this song remains the same. That we are still to look for those things that God has done for us. We are still to look for those things that God has provided for us, that we are to be thankful for, and we are to count those blessings, that we might be reminded of those blessings, that we might be thankful. See, I want you to know, whatever it is that you're facing, not only is God bigger, but God is also better. He's better than whatever it is that you might be facing. And so shift your focus. Shift your focus off of those fears and anxieties and focus wholeheartedly on the Father. Listen, fear is a real thing. Anxieties are a real threat, real thing. And if that's where you find yourself today, I don't want to minimize that. The struggle is real. But listen, so is our God, and He is bigger, and He is better, so let's focus on Him. If fear is where you do find yourself today, let me just remind you of these things one more time. Rest in God's protection, remember that God knows, practice trust, and practice thanksgiving. And as you practice all of those things, allow for the God of this universe to overcome that very real struggle in your life today. Now, the greatest struggle that all of us have in this life is the struggle of sin, the struggle that separates us from a very real God. But what we know is that Jesus died on the cross for us. He overcame that sin struggle for us. And if we put our trust in Him, we will be forgiven. We will be redeemed. We will be saved. If you need to put your trust in Him this morning, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that. Just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing, this will be your opportunity to respond to whatever it is the Lord is doing in your life today. And if you're here and you would say, you know what, I've never put my trust and my faith in Jesus Christ, but I recognize that Jesus died for me. I recognize that He rose again. Today I'm ready to put my trust and hope in the Lord. Today I'm ready to call upon His name for salvation. If that's you, as we sing the song, I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. You can step out of your seat and just meet me down here as we sing. Maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, I've given my life to Christ already, but I've never taken that next step of baptism. to publicly profess my faith in Christ in that way. Not that baptism saves us, but it is something that God calls every single born-again believer to do. And so if you've never taken that step, but you're ready to make that commitment today, I'd love to talk with you and pray with you as well. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've already been baptized by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale, but I know God's calling me to make this my church home. You know, one thing that we find when we join a church family is that not only do we get to go through life struggles with the Lord, but we also have a family of believers to go through life struggles with. So if God's calling you to connect this, to connect your life with this body of believers here, then I would invite you to do so this morning. Whatever it is that God is calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Stand with me right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.